Howdy, what's going on? Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. It is heard live every day, by the way, from noon until 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. This podcast is also supported by North Carolina businesses, so please consider supporting them. Try not to skip through their short ad. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And thanks so much for your support. Look, I know if you're listening to this program, listening to WBT, I know that this is going to be of great interest to you, okay? It's about talk radio. It's about the radio industry, okay? It is about the recent purchase of debt of the radio station that is now in bankruptcy, or the radio company that's now in bankruptcy protection called Odyssey. Odyssey used to be called Entercom, which is what people would talk over back in the olden days, in between offices and such. Hey, can you come in here? You know, no, that's Entercom. Entercom. I guess it's a play on those words, though, maybe. I don't know. I never worked for Entercom. I got to WBT, and WBT had been owned by Entercom, but then it had changed over. It began identifying as Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y, right? Audacy. And so they were going through a rebrand, which was like the best news for iHeartRadio, which that used to be Clear Channel, but they went through their own rebranding, and it cost them, you know, millions of dollars to rebrand everything, and took them years and years and years for people to finally realize, you know, that iHeartRadio was the separate brand or whatever. And so iHeart is the competitor, but also bankrupt, by the way. They've been bankrupt for like 20-something years. Like Mitt Romney and Bain Capital bought iHeart. They came in there and bought iHeart when it was circling the drain. Like, and that was before Romney was even in any elected office, if I remember correctly. Do you remember? Do you ever work for an iHeart station, John Moore?
I have not.
You have not had that pleasure?
I missed out on that.
missed out on that. Okay. now, you know, pros and cons. There are pros and cons to all of these things. It's as Thomas Sowell says, you know, there are only trade-offs. Okay, so Odyssey, you know, formerly Entercom, Odyssey also went bankrupt, okay? And part of this is structural, okay? A lot of these companies, the big companies, they, you know, back in the 90s, they went on these buying binges. And it was this race to accumulate as many radio stations as possible. So they bought up tons of stations, and they took out tons and tons of debt in order to do it. And unfortunately, couldn't see around the corner that, you know, new competing delivery platforms were being established. For starters, that's, you know, one of the issues. There are a whole host of other issues, and, you know, without getting too, you know, into the weeds on the radio industry, there was a bunch of other stuff that occurred. A lot of firing of content creators, right? I mean, that because once you take on all the debt and now you have to keep making money, and they thought, well, you know what, if we have, you know, like one country music station in Charlotte and we have a country music station in Asheville and a country music station in Greensboro and another one in Columbia, well, we'll just run the same station. And then we could fire everybody and we could save costs, right? That was the idea. Okay. So that's sort of the business model that was operating for the last like 20, 30 years or so. So Odyssey, it finally caught up to them too. And they went into bankruptcy protection. Okay. So what happens in this case, and this is the same deal for iHeartRadio, is that people come in and you've got, you know, investors that will come in and buy up the debt to try to take control, and then either, you know, try to do something, you know, sell off the assets. You know, you never know how this stuff is going to shake out. But, you know, the idea being, hopefully, best case scenario is you restructure some of the debt. You maybe get some of it forgiven and you're able to then become leaner, meaner, and reemerge out of bankruptcy protection, right? Or you get sold off to another company, you merge in. Isn't that what happened to, is that Greater Media? Is that what happened to Greater Media?
I believe so.
Yeah, because Greater Media was, that they were the ones that came in and bought us, bought WBT from Lincoln Financial.
Yes.
Right. And Lincoln Financial acquired WBT at the time from Jefferson Pilot Communications. They actually just bought all of Jefferson Pilot. They just swallowed them up. There was an insurance company play. So they bought the insurance company, JP. All the media companies came with it. And they were like, we're totally keeping everybody. We're not selling anybody off. And then like a month later, they sold off WBT and the other Charlotte properties. But just the Charlotte properties. Like, what was up with that? They sold they kept everybody else except us. Anyway, they sold us to Greater Media, who eventually went bankrupt, I think. They got bought, or maybe they got bought up by CBS. I think that's how that happened, right? I know I'm going way down the rabbit hole here. All to tell you that George Soros is now buying Odyssey. Well, I mean, part of their debt. But it's basically the same thing. And Odyssey owns a whole bunch of talk stations, conservative talk stations, but also Hispanic talk stations. And I suspect this is part of this is one of the major reasons for the play. Look, all right, let me just go to the story here. This is by Daniel Greenfield, frontpagemag.com. Close this out for WBT purposes, which is, We were traded. WBT got traded from Entercom to Radio One or Urban One for 3 draft picks and 6 stations to be named later. I think that was the terms of the. No, I'm kidding. No, there was a, because the FCC, the federal government, says you're not allowed to own certain. Is it 6 stations per market, something like that, and. Some stuff had happened with Odyssey, and at that point, they were like, we have too many stations, so they did a swap. They did like a bunch of different stations in different markets. They swapped them all around, and that's how BT ended up out of the Odyssey portfolio and into the Radio 1 family. So this does not affect us. We are not owned by Odyssey. Mornings in northeastern Pennsylvania start on WILK-FM with the Bob Cordaro or Cordero show. Anyway, he describes himself as, quote, convincingly conservative, lovingly logical, proudly and passionately patriotic. He does like alliterations, I will say that, and reliably right. And then eventually other conservatives, including Ben Shapiro, come on the air. But that may be about to change. WILK is one of a number of Pennsylvania stations owned by Odyssey, 5 actually in the Philadelphia area alone, the second largest radio broadcaster in America. Odyssey is. It's got more than 200 radio stations across the country. It is about to fall into the hands of George Soros for the first time. Okay, so it's about to fall into his hands in time for the 2024 election. After Odyssey was forced to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, Soros Fund Management bought hundreds of millions of dollars of its debt for 50 cents on the dollar, and under a bankruptcy agreement will become its largest shareholder with a potential impact on much of the country and its politics. So the company's in bankruptcy, it buys up the debt, becomes the largest shareholder, and now it gets to set the terms. Odyssey claims to be able to reach more than 200 million people across the range of its properties, which includes sports, music, and talk stations, as well as a large digital platform, right? The apps. And while Odyssey is not an inherently conservative company, it does own a number of talk radio stations, and the talk radio format caters to commuters, early risers, and working people, which is to say, conservatives. Now, the real story here, this isn't even about, you know, the radio industry or anything like that. I'm not trying to drag anybody. Look, I've had good experience. I've worked with really great people in the industry for my 30 years in radio almost now. I have no complaints about the people I have worked in, at least that I will say on the air. Like, I, at least, like, I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to. I'm not going to say any of the stuff that I any of the complaints on the air. No, but look, I've been very blessed. I've been very lucky to be able to do this as long as I have been doing it. I recognize that, and it's because I don't say bad things about people on the air. That's really the reason why. And I work for, like, nothing. Anyway, this is a story about the precariousness of the radio industry in delivering the content that it has been delivering for the last 30-plus years, right? Since Limbaugh came on the scene and reinvented AM radio, right? Things are probably about to change for the worse, okay? At least on some stations and in some markets. I don't think that George Soros... I don't think that that guy buys up all of this debt and takes over control of Odyssey Radio to not be involved in the programming decisions. Daniel Greenfield at Front Page Magazine, he says, while business is business, and the Hungarian immigrant who made a fortune as a shrewd investor, you know, radio, though, is not a booming market, and there is a pattern here that goes back to 2022. That's when George Soros took over Radio Mambi. I mean, I'm pronouncing it with a little bit of a Spanish lingo there, but it's a conservative Hispanic radio station in Florida, Radio Mambi. It was part of a network that would give him access to one out of three Hispanics in the entire country. Radio Mambi. Some radio hosts left Radio Mambi in protest and formed Radio Americano. Radio Americano, the country's first conservative Hispanic radio network, formed a partnership then with a major radio company leasing one of its radio stations, probably one of those LMAs. Anyway, having taken over Radio Mambi, Soros is now going to be in a position to also cripple Radio Americano. Why? Because Radio Americano entered into that partnership with Odyssey. I'll tell you what, if I was working at Radio Mambi and then quit over Soros's purchase and takeover of our content, right? If I was one of those announcers who walked out and went over and started Radio Americano, and entered into this partnership with Odyssey, and now Soros just bought Odyssey, I'd think it's personal at this point. I would feel like this guy's coming after us, you know? I mean, how could you not think at that point? Like, everywhere you've gone now, this guy keeps coming in and buying the stations. It's almost as if he's trying to shut up conservative Hispanics. I mean, maybe it's a coincidence. When Republicans take over Democrat radio stations, Democrats do not take it lying down. When Carasol 1260 AM, a Latino radio station, was being sold in 2021 to a group that included a conservative Hispanic figure, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, a Democrat organization, sounded alarm bells and urged the FCC to block the sale. And that deal fell apart, and the Democrats won in 2022. Right? That's how the Democrats play this game. Now, the company, Odyssey, filed for Chapter 11 in the Southern District of Texas. The rapid bankruptcy deal that'll make Soros into the company's biggest shareholder can be examined by state officials, including regulators and prosecutors like Attorney General Ken Paxton. Odyssey's reach includes Texas, where it has at least one conservative talk radio station, KJCE, which, along with local talent, broadcasts Sean Hannity, Dana Lash, and Front Lines of Freedom, as well as, and it says local officials can determine whether the bankruptcy deal and the subsequent Soros takeover will impact the Texas market and, quote, viewpoint diversity. Okay. Now, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. The FCC is going to make this call, right? And the FCC is controlled by Democrats. So I got to believe that they're going to want this deal to go through because Democrats, you know? At Radio Mambi, the Soros people brought in Democrat Party operatives in a leadership role. Does he have similar plans for Odyssey? Certainly. Yeah, absolutely. The company has signaled that major cuts will be part of its reorganization. Well, I mean, that's kind of standard, though. So, I mean, I don't know how much to read into that. Will those cuts be politically neutral? Probably not. Or will they single out conservative employees? Probably. And the conservative side of the business? Yeah, definitely. Will this reorganization, which is officially meant to deal with the debt load, really be used as cover for a purge of the political opposition by a major funder of the ruling party? Yes, absolutely. That's what's going to happen. They're going to start flipping formats. I have no doubt. While Odyssey reached a deal with a supermajority of its debt holders, it is not truly universal. Some debt holders have already filed objections. And while the matter is before a judge in a progressive part of the state, Texas officials do have some options that they can explore. So we'll see. But wanted to put that on your radar. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville, and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Yes, one of the most uninformed people.
Maybe I'll play this audio. I was on with the morning guy up in Raleigh in Greensboro this morning, Casey O'Day. And we were talking, he was talking about this woman who appeared before Congress. And my goodness, she did not perform very well. She did. All right. Well, here you. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Let's do it. We'll go ahead and play it. We'll do it live. We'll go ahead and play it. Let's see.
Correct.
We support a two-state solution. Yes.
Okay. Have you looked at that objectively?
What do you mean, have you looked at it objectively?
Have you analyzed that objectively?
This is something that we do support, yeah.
That's not an answer. Have you analyzed a second Palestinian state objectively? Have you analyzed it objectively?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking.
You don't know what it means to objectively analyze something?
No, what it means to objectively analyze.
Okay, so have you done that?
No, I have not. If I understand your question.
You might not be, because I can't believe that you would answer it in that way. Let me just start over. You're here representing support for a Palestinian state, correct?
Yes.
Have you analyzed that support objectively?
Yes.
But you just said no. So
I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Okay. I thought I made it pretty simple, but you said no.
Oh my goodness.
I'll grant you that now you said yes, you have looked at it objectively. So, having looked at it objectively, which I would assume somebody in your position does, who would you assess would lead that Palestinian state? Pick a group. You can name a group, but I'm saying Hamas, Palestinian Authority, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Fatah, some other group. Who would lead it?
I think that has to be something that's considered. I don't think I'm in a position to say
who
that
did
right
you
now.
Objectively assess would lead it in determining you have support for a Palestinian state?
I don't think that I can answer that question. I think this is part of a larger discussion.
But you objectively assess that you support a Palestinian state.
I do support a
objectively assessing that, who do you assess would lead that state? What group that does not receive military support from, say, Iran, do you assess would lead that state?
I understand your question, but I think I would have to have a little. I don't feel comfortable saying that without.
Have you not assessed what group would lead it? Have you or have you not assessed who would become the leader of that Palestinian state?
This is part of a larger discussion.
But have you or have you not assessed that?
This is a part of a larger discussion. I don't think I can't answer that question.
You can't answer whether you have or have not assessed
who would lead the state? I cannot answer a question about me, particularly what I think what it should be. I mean, I think that's part
you
of
You came
a larger,
here and said there should be a Palestinian state.
Right.
Have you or have you not assessed who would lead that? Just yes or no. Have you looked at who would lead it or have you not?
I support a two-state solution.
I know, you said that numerous times.
Oh, my God.
Have you or have you not assessed who would become the leader of that state? Fatah, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Palestinian Authority, somewhere else.
Someone else.
Have you assessed who it would be?
I don't feel comfortable. I'm sorry. I don't feel comfortable.
You don't care, feel comfortable saying if you have assessed something.
No, what I don't feel comfortable is making a statement when I think it's part of a larger discussion.
Don't even say who it is. Just answer, have you assessed it?
Did you even look at it?
Have you assessed who would lead it?
Put it this way, there will be an assessment of this question within the U.S. government
in terms of who we think should be. I'm not in a position
right now to say what that is because I think this is part of a larger discussion.
Honestly, it's amazing. I think it goes back to your original statement, which was probably the correct one, that you have not objectively looked at this.
You got it right when you said that.
I'm going to move on to another question.
Part of what the U.S. government wants to do.
You're supposed to be the part of the U.S. government that does that. I am part of the U.S. government, but I will not. I have more time. Sorry. I have more questions, so I apologize. So do you assess that a Palestinian state would be more likely to be designated as a major non-NATO ally like Israel or Egypt, or would you assess that they would have to be labeled a state sponsor of terror?
I can't answer that
question.
Have you assessed that?
These are questions that I'm not in a position to answer.
I'm asking if you are in the position to answer if you have assessed whether that would be the case. You came here sitting before Congress saying you are here representing the idea that there should be a Palestinian state. You said you looked at it objectively, which you probably didn't, and I'm asking if you assessed that. So you can answer whether you assessed something or not.
What I can answer is this is part of a discussion that I don't think that I should be making those decisions or answering these questions right now.
Answering what you don't think you should answer whether you assess something is amazing. Let me ask one more question. Why do you think that we should make a country out of a people that just conducted a Jewish genocide 4 months ago?
I'm not sure what you're asking here.
Can I have time to repeat the question for her, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since she doesn't understand.
I object.
Mr. Chairman,
the time limit has occurred.
So the question, to repeat it, since you said you don't understand
Mr. Chairman,
it,
is, I continue to object.
Why do you want to make a country
Mr.
of a
Chairman.
People that just conducted a Jewish genocide?
Mr.
I think
Chairman.
I said it very clearly. Please answer.
I'm not going to respond to a question about that one. Sorry. I don't feel like I want to answer your question, I really do, but I just don't feel like I'm in the position right now that I can answer those type of questions. This is a question for the U.S. government, and
you're the U.S. government.
Yes,
but
I know.
Undoubtedly,
we cannot answer. We're still.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for indulging me to repeat the question that apparently was not clear.
That was not clear, is what he was saying. That was Representative Brian Mast from Florida, who was questioning the Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security, Ambassador Bonnie Jenkins, who did not want to say, I think at one point she was about to say, I think I should stop talking now. I would very much like to stop talking. Can I please leave? I don't want to be here anymore. Can I please leave? Think about that. The purpose of her appearance at this congressional hearing was to advocate for the administration's position for a two-state solution, for the Palestinians to have their own government, to have their own nation, to have their own state, right? And Brian Mast asks, hey, have you done any assessment, an objective assessment about what that looks like? And I don't think she knows what the word objective means. That's the only thing I can discern from that exchange, right, is that she just doesn't know what the term means. Either that or she doesn't know what assessment means, which would be terrifying, okay? Either way, this is a member. This is an undersecretary in our U.S. government. Not just any old undersecretary, but the one for arms control and international security. And she doesn't know whether or not they have done an assessment, objective or otherwise, whether they've done an assessment as to who would be in charge of the thing they're advocating, right? They're like, we want an independent Palestinian country. Who would be in charge of that? We don't know. I mean, well, wait, Palestinians? No? Yes. Maybe? I don't know. Like, how can you even answer that? Have you thought about who, like, what the ethnic or demographic makeup of this country might be? If you're advocating for it, do you know where the boundaries are? Stuff like that. Like an independent, objective assessment. They're not sending their best. Holy cow. Alex Jones is going to have to liquidate his assets. That's what it seems like. All right, hey, maybe you have heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina. It's coming soon, on March 11th to be exact. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. DraftKings is safe, it's secure and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and then place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now here's the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements, and see terms at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Should I do this entire story in my Alex Jones voice? In order to collect on the 1.5... No, I'm not. Because did you know he did that, like he affected that voice in the early days? I did a deep dive into the Alex Jones phenomena and his background and history and all of that, and came to the conclusion that he's a grifter and a liar and is basically a supplement salesman. His company is a supplement company masquerading as a radio program. Anyway, he affected that gravelly Alex Jones in order to sound like Rush. Because when you listen to his early days, when he was on like the local public access cable channel in Austin, Texas, his voice didn't sound like that. It was only after he started doing the radio shows and stuff, and he started getting a following as he started morphing and started to sound more and more and more like he does now. He's adopted this thing. In order to collect all the $1.5 million in defamation judgments. That's kind of, I mean, that's close, right? Anyway, you'll recall he was sued by the families of the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre up in Connecticut. Because he had gone on the air and told all of his audience that these were all crisis actors, there weren't any real victims, it was all a hoax and all of this, right? These were all lies that he told. And so he got sued after his followers then targeted these families, these victims' families. And by the way, this has now become a phenomenon that occurs in the wake of all mass shootings. I don't know if you're aware of that, but after all mass shootings, the victims' families, they then get targeted by Alex Jones-type followers who, his followers, yes, but also sort of Alex Jones-adjacent people who believe all of these mass shootings are staged, that they're not real, they're false flag operations or whatever, and so they then attack the family members so that they have that waiting for them too. So after they have a loved one get murdered in a mass shooting, then they are attacked by anonymous people, strangers, accusing them of lying about their family member being murdered.
Right.
So these families, having been subjected to this, they sued Alex Jones and they won. They won a $1.5 billion defamation judgment against him. And he offered, apparently, he had proposed to have his assets broken apart and paid to, in order to pay down this $1.5 billion over the course of a decade. Okay. They voted to reject that offer. It was a unanimous decision. It was filed on the docket at the federal bankruptcy court in Texas, where the InfoWars hosts Empire, which also includes the company Free Speech Systems, is being picked over more than a year after he first filed a petition for personal bankruptcy protection. He filed for bankruptcy for Free Speech Systems while he was on trial back in July of 23. Ultimately, he was held liable for his defamatory comments about the 2012 mass shooting in Newton. I think it's Newtown, actually. This is from lawandcrime.com. Isn't it Newtown? Because he called it a giant hoax. He kept calling it a hoax. When, in fact, the massacre left 26 people dead. 20 kids, right? Six adults. His conduct was formally considered willful and malicious. That's what the jury had determined. And under bankruptcy laws, when you are a debtor and you cause injury of intentional emotional distress or something like that, willful and malicious, in other words, then there is no relief. There's no way to get out of that. You have to pay it all. And so they rejected that, and so that's where that is headed. Couldn't happen to a better broadcaster. North Carolina lawmakers are looking at ways to improve customer service at the DMV. I don't know, is it possible? Is it possible to get better than the NCDMV? I'm not aware. This includes the possibility of having the private sector handle some of the DMV's duties. Private sector. State House and Senate Republican leaders say they don't yet know whether fully privatizing DMV would be a good idea or not. However, according to WRAL, they say something has got to change because what's in place now is not working. Appointments are booked up months in advance. You could try for a walk-in spot, but that's going to be hours of waiting. A study is taking place right now to see if it is feasible to contract out some or all of the DMV's current functions in the state. And that study is expected to be completed by May. It's being done by legislative staffers. State Senator Michael Lazara, Republican from Onslow, says that the private sector could handle customer service more efficiently. License plate agencies are already mostly privately run. Did you know that? Inspection stations are, obviously. Several years ago, he said state lawmakers gave the DMV $90 million. And I think I remember this was part of Pat McCrory's deal, wasn't it? To make it more like customer-focused and all of that, if I remember correctly. $90 million and to modernize its extremely outdated software systems. $90 million. So that still has not happened. So just to be clear, $90 million given to DMV 20 years ago to modernize its software still has not happened. Right. Which really is all you need to know about the DMV and whether or not it should be privatized. It would be complicated, but it has been done. Get this. Hawaii actually has privatized its DMV. Did you know that? I did not. Apparently, it is the only state that has fully privatized its DMV. So WRAL's story makes a note here that the DMV declined WRAL News' interview request for this story, which is very much on brand for the DMV. Like, hey, I have a question. Can I got a couple questions, DMV. Can I ask you these questions?
No. No, you can't.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.